Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for starting your day in a positive way here on The Kim Pagano Show. We talk about the brighter side of the 805, and gosh, we got full studio. I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us right now, if you miss any part of our show today, you can go on my website, kimpaganoshow.com, and listen there. Also iTunes, also Facebook, Kim Pagano Show. Become a friend of ours. That's how you know what's going on all around us and all over the world. We're always sharing great things. So I am happy that you are here. And again, we got Spence on our phones here. Spence, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Beautiful Saturday morning.
There you go. All right. We got Cheryl Jones here.
Good
how you
morning.
Doing?
Good morning. Great. Thank
All
you.
All right. And we've got Nancy in the studio with us. And Nancy's going to be talking about Miss Ventura County Scholarship Association. Welcome, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. And we have Fu Ding Chung. And
Cheng.
And I'm going to get that right. And thank you so much for being here. His book is Map of Desire. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And our guest on our line today is Kathleen Grace, and she's the author of Prince Not So Charming, which is interesting because I thought it was about kind of love affair and all that, but it's about, maybe not having, let's just talk to Kathleen and find out a little bit more about it. Kathleen, are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
How are you doing? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you wrote your book.
Well, I'm actually a financial planner as my day job for over two decades now, and I think this was always a passion of mine, helping women to become more financially independent.
Okay. And now let me ask you a question. When you say, I always think of, marriage, okay, but yet we really need to depend on ourselves at the same time. Is that kind of your line of thinking?
Exactly. 9 out of 10 women will be solely responsible for their own finances at some point in time in their lives.
Okay. And
death, divorce, or disability.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And so what is your passion for, is that pretty much the way it goes? Is that what you found out in life?
Well, after doing planning for many, many people, I think that we don't do a great job empowering women with the tools that would be appealing to us to learn finances. I mean, I have a small child, and when I was reading the Cinderella story to her one night, I thought to myself, well, geez, this is not such a good message. I mean, we're telling kids to go out there, find some Prince Charming to rescue you, and all your dreams will come true then.
Well, I'm sorry, but I just want to know, do you think we should encourage our young girls to study math, economics, study finances, read the Wall Street Journal when they're in middle school? Don't you kind of advocate education at an earlier age for girls instead of teaching home ec? We should be learning how to balance a checkbook, the realities of finance at a much younger age. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. I think Malcolm Gladwell, in one of his books, does a great job kind of highlighting societal and cultural biases, gender biases, specifically for women not feeling that they're empowered culturally to take the financial reins in the family and feel empowered to go out and do it on their own.
Okay. Did you want to say something?
About the book?
Yeah, what's your thought on women as opposed to male
empowering themselves on financial.
I think totally needed. I think now we're at the interesting age where the balance between feminine principle and the masculine principle must come together. It's no longer a nice idea. It's a question of survival. So all the power to all women to do everything, just like men.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, Nancy. And I, you know, Nancy is here with scholarships with Miss Ventura, right? And,
yes.
And, you know, I mean, that's kind of a foundation right there.
It is, yes. We, in our program as well, we really try to encourage the young women in all aspects of life to not only learn about their own self and who they are, but also they are earning scholarships to further their education and hopefully one day go into financial planning, go into something that's going to reach out and help someone else build their future.
Right. And you know, I think that it's so important is it's not only a financial freedom, but it's an emotional freedom because mm-hmm. you can always stand on your own 2 feet. And I have, you know, 4 kids, 2 girls, 2 boys. But, you know, really for my girls as well as my boys, I want them to be able to feel that they don't have to depend on anybody else for their freedom of financial as well as emotional. What's your thought on that? Kathleen, are you still with us?
I am, and that's actually the message in the book. It is a modern-day romance, so there's lots of romance in there. Actually, I love to read romances myself. So I put it together in such a way that it was fun, appealing, but also the message in it is the modern-day Cinderella lived happily ever after because she's empowered herself to be financially independent and emotionally independent. So I couldn't agree more, and I think that if we encourage couples when they get together to respect and understand one another's biases when it comes to money and have a free and open discussion when it comes to money as to how money will be saved, how it will be spent, I think that obviously that would facilitate better marriages as well, considering one of the leading causes of divorce is money.
Mm-hmm. It is. It, yes. So it is one of the leading. Oh, wow. See, that's interesting. Now, okay, so what are some of the tips that we're going to learn from your book?
Well, the key to living well and creating wealth is very simple yet profound, is living within or below your means and saving the rest.
Okay.
You know, I think culturally, especially in America, we use money to make ourselves feel good. You know, the Chanel bags, all these expensive things. By the way, I like them.
Okay.
In fact, I love them. But my point is, there's a place and time for every purchase, and making sure that you're in control of your money, not letting money control you, is the key. And I think that we all live that way. We're human beings, and human beings are subject to emotional biases. And those emotional biases kind of wreak havoc on our pocketbook.
Right, right. Now, you know, it's interesting because so many of us think of being financially comfortable is success. Okay, and, you know, we're going to be talking about Map of Desire here. But what's your thought? I mean, how is financial and, you know, the fundamentals of life really connected? Yes, you can live. I've always heard if you're going to marry for money, you know, you'll be happier.
I was told that.
Yeah, money doesn't buy everything, does it?
No.
And really, you know, my show is about the brighter side of life, and it's about the brighter side. There's a lot of things that money can also lead to unhappiness. What's your thought on that?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. Money does not equal happiness. And there's probably people on the phone going, oh, my God, that's crazy. But you know what? There's a lot of people flying around in private jets that aren't happy, okay? It's not a question. And by the way, we have family office clients which are ultra high net worth clients, and I can say to you that not everybody is happy just because they have a lot of zeros in their, you know, after the money in their bank account. That doesn't bring happiness. And I think the key to living well is sitting down with somebody and actually mapping out what is most important to you when it comes to money matters. For example, when we sit with our clients, we do something called honest conversations. We dig deep into each of the spouse's psyche to figure out what exactly does money mean to you. Does it mean spending more time with your family? Does it mean, you know, having the latitude to maybe do something you love as opposed to just doing something to earn money? We kind of uncover those things and then figure out a plan to get to those goals. So sometimes it isn't about, okay, how do I amass $10 million? It's about, how do I accomplish these specific goals to live a better life?
Well, you're right. And for me, the observation is being happy today means being able to buy your medicine, your groceries. When you're a senior, you can make a choice as to where you want to live, able to pay for it, be happily independent because it's affordable. That today is success. That's happiness. When you are above 65 and you can afford to live alone and you're still healthy, you can go to the gym, you can take a walk. You don't have to make a choice. Do I get my medicine or do I buy this meat? So that's happiness today.
That's a really good point. You're absolutely right. And now I think that I love that honest conversation because I think that leads really kind of leads right into relationships because so many families, you know, I always call it, you know, we're from blended families, even if it's our first marriage, because we're learned from our family. And your husband or your spouse has learned from their family, what was their ideals of, you know, money, management, success, you know, real, you know, deep thoughts. And I think that that's important to really put that out on the table. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We are the brighter side of the 805. I'm so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way here. And right now, our first guest is Kathleen Grace. We're talking about her book, Prince Not So Charming. How did you get that name?
Well, I have to be honest. My girlfriend and I were sitting around with some wine and on a cocktail napkin, we wrote out a few different titles, and all of a sudden it hit me because I wanted something that was, you know, powerful, kitschy, and something that people could relate to. You know, we've all kind of had the experience at some point in time in our lives of marrying somebody or being with somebody who wasn't exactly who they claim to be or who we thought they were from the beginning. And I think sometimes romance blinds us to certain things, and precisely what you were saying before the break was exactly that. Is sometimes when we are attracted to people, we don't really think about how they handle money, how their approach to money is, and quite frankly, that leads to a lot of disasters in relationships, because what if somebody has, you know, deep debt? You know, what if somebody has a gambling problem? I mean, there are all sorts of things that are probably not romantic that we should talk about before we move in with somebody, before we combine our finances with somebody.
I think that that's really good. Those are just, I call it the responsible list, you know. So am I going to save everything and you're going to spend everything? Or, you know, are we going to be working towards the same goals? Those are all the really important questions.
Have you been audited by the IRS?
Have you already had a problem?
Yes, from a shamanic tradition, it's really nice to, when you meet somebody that's important, let's say for relationships or business or anything, to know. This is going to sound weird, but the shadow side of this person.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Not because of judgment, no. Just to know what you are getting into. Some shadow side of people is fine. You can take it. Others are deal breakers you don't want. And you want to know that sooner the better. It's like The Godfather. Give me the bad news first.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right. Well, Kathleen Grace, where do we find your book?
It is on Amazon.
Okay, great. And do you have a website?
I do. PrinceNotSoCharming.com.
All right. Well, I love it. Just a little mm-hmm. couple, you know, notice of things that we can do in our lives to hopefully going down the right road. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking to Fu Ding Cheng. Did I say it right?
Cheng. C-H-E-N-G. Cheng. Just
Cheng.
Like it sounds.
Okay. Okay. And we're going to talk about the map of desire, which actually leads right into what we've kind of been discussing. And, you know, I mean, Cheryl, we've been talking about it. Mapping out your life. I mean, it really, that's kind of what you've done, right? In your book.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So we're going to, so stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. What I'm going to do is we have a $50 gift certificate to Lures. And we are going to start taking names. So give us a call at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. Get your name. Just leave us your name and your phone number, and we will get back with you and see if you are a winner. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us.
Bank of Books stocks over 200,000 books and restocks daily, so there's something for everyone. New books are 20% off. Gift certificates are also available. Bank of Books is an independent, family-owned bookstore with three locations right here in Ventura and Oxnard, and also their new location in Malibu. Have books to trade in? Take them to Abednego Bookshop for trade credit and receive a 50% discount on used books at all of our locations. Call 805-643-3154. That's 805-643-3154. Or visit bankofbooks.com.
Do you struggle with food cravings, coffee addiction, weight management, or even digestive problems? What would your life look like if you were finally able to conquer these problems? If you're ready to make yourself a priority so you can feel better in your body, then Frances Starr, a certified health coach, has your answer. Go to www.coreelementswellness.com to schedule your free 30-minute wellness strategy session today. This session will jumpstart your year and give you the tools to last a lifetime. That's www.coreelementswellness.com.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly target audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We are the brighter side of the 805, and we are talking. We've got a full studio. We have Fu Ding Cheng in here. Cheng. I don't know. Okay. I think I'm saying it right. But anyways, he is, we're talking about The Map of Desire, which is his new book that is coming out. And it's a truly unique tool for personal freedom. And we had him on a while back, and I'm really excited to hear more a little bit about, we're at the beginning of our year, and to help us with some great tools. So welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
For having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, and you started out as an architect, correct?
Yes, I started out an architect. That was my first love. I mean, women can come and go, but architecture is forever.
Okay.
Life being what it is, I took on to the spiritual quest, and one thing led to another. I didn't want to be a careerist anymore, and so I just devoted myself to the spiritual path. And as a consequence, I ended up meditating way long time ago and went to the Himalayas meditating and did these very wonderful things and studied with Western thought, like Jungian thought, spiritual psychology, and most very importantly, I studied with Don Miguel Ruiz, which many of you may know as the author of The Four Agreements, and he was a Toltec shaman.
You became a shaman, right? And now you are a shaman, right?
Yes. It's because of him.
Wow.
And so we did this big sacred ritual in Teotihuacan in Mexico. It's called the Power Journey.
And what is a power journey?
Was,
So explain, what was the power journey?
Oh, it's a journey with the specific goal of waking up from the dream of the planet, as we say, waking up to reality. And it's through rituals and in some instruction, but through rituals, you participate, you experience this stuff. It's not just head talk. And so it just woke me up and so changed my life. Now, this is going to sound funny, but if I die now, I die happy because I woke up from the dream of the planet. Everything has changed.
So how did it change for you? I mean, I'm curious. Like, I mean, kind of take us through some of the steps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So in the beginning, my life, my early childhood, unrelenting torment, in-law problems, foster homes, beatings, all that kind of stuff, such that all through college, even though I did really well in college, inside was this big heart wound.
So you
and I was always sad. There was a melancholy. And I tried to even dignify it by saying, oh, I'm a tragic romantic. But still, the sorrow remained. And so, hence the spiritual path. That was when I started meditating. It was the first time I felt like there is an answer to all my miseries.
You know, I have to, you know, be honest, Fuding, is that I have tried to meditate and it's hard for me. I don't know, you know, if my listeners out there are even in the studio, you guys are nodding your head, right? It's hard to really, you know, I've heard of the steps walking down, you know, to try and get down to, you know, where there's no voices and you're not, what do they call it, monkey mind, right?
Oh, the monkey mind.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, where your mind's going 100 miles an hour. But to almost, it's just like almost, I call it close your eyes and look inside, right? I
mean, that's kind essentially of a meditation. Now, there's many, many, many kinds of meditations for many, many kinds of purpose. Mm-hmm. But if for those who are very having trouble just sitting and doing, there's many ways to quote unquote meditate. You could walk in nature, keep your mouth shut though, and just be totally aware of this, the wonderful sensations all around you.
Your surrounding.
Yeah.
Spencer,
keep away
from the monkey mind. Do you meditate?
I went through the TM course. I have my own official mantra, and it's interesting. And the running thing is good. The death of meditation was first the Walkman, and then the iPod, and now the iPhone. Because when people run now, they've got their buds in, and they never have quiet. And that's one of the problems. I ran long distances for a lot of my life, and in the old days, it was just.
And that's what you
Now it's Rage Against the Machine or whatever song you listen to. And that's,
do you put buds in?
I do not.
Okay.
When I run, I do not.
You know, it's interesting because we just got mountain bikes. And at first I put the music on. And then I thought, I just want the music of the mountains.
Oh, good for you.
And it really is. I mean, it is really soothing on my brain and kind of just takes me, I guess, that's that feeling.
Oh, yes. If you look inside and really felt your own quietness, magic happens. Because your thinking mind, that side of our brain, is, let's say, shut down for a while. Well, then it's not like a void. Now your intuitive mind takes off. Your intuition is the software program that connects you with the wisdom of the whole universe. If you're plugged into your intuition, that's how artists get these fantastic visions, healers get healings, and Einstein gets his, you know, breakthroughs.
Makes so much sense.
True to all of us.
Wow.
It's inherent in us. It's a God-given right to use our intuitive mind.
It's kind of like listening to God through yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, regarding that, it was kind of like when meditation took a different direction for me. I started out trying to control my thoughts. But I didn't get any progress until I began to let go and surrender and see what was really there. And then start to work through that. And that's when I began to feel a calm and find that place.
That's right on, spot on. Because when you do that, it's not about controlling. No, it's really about awareness. What is going on? Oh, I have an anger. Here a wound. Oops, here's my weakness. Here's the, just accept it all. And the miracle is it starts to shift just by looking at it. Now quantum physics is actually proving this. You look at something and everything shifts. But if you look at it with pure awareness, no judgment, everything changes.
I love it. I love it. Anybody that's just joining us in right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are the part with the brighter side of the 805. And we're starting our day in a positive way. This is, it's really, we're at the beginning of the year, and the last couple of weeks have just been kind of, you know, you just kind of move into the year, and it always seems like everybody's kind of looking at, what do I want to do a little different? What do I want to, you know, maybe make a different intention? I don't know. So what are some of the things that you can help us with the guidelines that we can fully really, and I don't want to say take control, but take advantage of what our lives are, you know, why we're here, our purpose. That's really what we're all about, isn't it?
No, that's now we're getting into the real questions.
Okay.
And a perfect time to do it is these auspicious times like the beginning of a new year, which we're in now, or the beginning of spring, or this kind of auspicious time. So one thing we could all do, all of us, is gain what the shamans call clarity of intent.
Okay.
If you have clarity of intent, that's like having a beautiful seed. Now, when spring comes around, everything will get manifested. That's the rhythm of nature. We are part of nature. So clarity of intent is paramount.
So let's even break that down even further. Clarity of intent. What does that mean?
Clarity is to be clear, and that's kind of like we're talking about gaining awareness.
Okay.
Intent. Now, intent is in a way like desire. You want something.
Okay.
However, here's what puts it a magical spin on the word that's almost a sacred word in shamanic tradition. Intent requires two things. Now, intent, by the way, can take you all the way to personal freedom if it's done right. But here it has two requirements. One, it's a desire or an intent that comes from your heart.
From your
not
heart.
Your ego, not your, you
okay,
know, like that.
Okay, not
so
ego.
Hard.
Yeah.
The other thing is, see, when you do it from your heart, that automatically tunes you into the whole universe again. Love goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now you're a much vaster person. So that's one thing.
Okay.
The other thing is complete detachment from outcome. That's
okay.
Where the power comes, because most of us waste so much energy, our chi, our life force energy, worrying, oh, what might happen, what might not happen, that sort of thing. Now, with intent, you are detached from the outcome. Even as you have it focused now, there's a funny little paradox there, but it's doable. But without worrying about how it may or may not come, you're reharvesting all that energy that's usually wasted in worrying and all this.
So not to interrupt you, but detach from outcome. Does that mean not worrying about if we're going to be successful, not worrying about if we're going to make money, not worrying, it's just we're giving of the heart?
You still have your intent. Let's say I want to write a book or have a wonderful relationship or have a new job. You still go for it now. You know, we're not like a little piece of flotsam floating in the universe.
Okay.
No, we have our intent. We can steer our life. However, with detachment, meaning we're not going to worry about specific steps of how it may or may not come. Because as many of you already know, sometimes we want something, we may get disappointed, but then spirit comes around in a whole different ways and gives us something much bigger than our original conception.
Right.
This has happened
so many
times. So
we're not controlling it. We're just putting the intention out there, and then we're detaching from the outcome.
That's right.
And so you're putting your idea out there. You've got a direction. You're going to go through the steps to get there, but you're going to let the universe take you in whichever way it's supposed to be.
That's it.
Okay, I think I got it. Okay, I love it. And is that where your book comes in, Map of Desire?
Yes. So let's say we gathered all these kinds of wisdoms that we hear in bits and pieces all over, and we don't quite know how to put it all together, and maybe we have our desires and we wanted things, but maybe after many years of struggling, we still don't have it and we're unfulfilled. With that unfulfillment comes suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us have been nobly trying to do things, but, you know, we suffer all the way around because we have not really fulfilled our desire. Here's where the map of desire comes in. It helps us map out our inner landscape, our psychological terrain.
I like that, inner landscape, okay.
With a map, just imagine, where's the territory of our ego? We've all heard about why it's so important and why it's a trap. Where's the limits? Or we've heard the strategic location of our heart. Why is that so strategic? Why? You know, we hear about it, but why? The map shows that. Or where's the headquarters of our inner demons, the ones that sabotage us sometimes for decades without us even really knowing. If you know where the headquarters are, there's only a few places in our psyche that it lodges. If you knew it just like a map, you would know, oh, what roads to avoid because there's obstacles, and what roads to take for clear sailing. With a map of desire, this is all revealed, and you learn even the three clear paths that'll take you all the way to self-fulfillment.
So, Fuding, and anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Fuding Tung, and we're talking about his book, Map of Desire. It's a blueprint for self-fulfillment. I mean, it really is. But when you're saying that, you know, we need to kind of have our own landscape inside ourselves, is what you called it, the inner landscape, right?
Yes.
And you say that there's maybe like, would you agree that there are triggers that make us, is that what it is? Almost like things that
that's
can
one
hold
of many
us
things.
Back? Okay.
One of many
so
things.
Is that like a negative voice? Or, you know, something that, you know, there's been, I'm going to give you a couple examples. Like, there's friends of mine that have lost lots of weight, and every time they just about there, they gain it all back because it makes them feel, I don't know, there's something that brings them right back. And so that's why one of the things, right? So many people get really successful and they start to feel it, and then they get scared, and then they, you know, they don't make that phone call, or they don't show up to work, or they don't write.
That's so true.
So I mean, those are just a couple examples. So what are some of the things that we could look for inside our minds, because that's really where we're going, right, is that could really identify with some of the things that my listeners are, and just even us in here, that could hold us back that you've learned about?
Yes, and you brought up a really good example. I'm even thinking of an apprentice I work with who gained a lot of success in the music world. And when he got to a certain level of success, something in him sabotaged the whole thing. He became really, you know, mean and stuff, and it kind of sabotaged all the people around him, and he lost his success. And then he would wait, take a new breath, and then rebuild it up, and then it would do it again. So from the shamanic practice, we realize, okay, what's the hidden, let's call it saboteur inside?
Yes.
What is that thing that has been sabotaging him for decades without him really even knowing? And it turned out one of the things, as we do our practices, oh, he was brought up in childhood with his father continually condemning, you'll never be anything, you're a nothing, you're my son, but you know, you're so stupid. I mean, it was just vicious put down. And of course, he rebels. However, because it was not completely resolved, that little germ of negative thought, his self-image got completely thinking that somewhere deep down, now he won't even admit it consciously to himself, but I'm not really worth this
I'm
success.
I'm not good enough to have what I'm almost right. going to get. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, so many people, I'm sure, are going through this in our everyday. And so I'm sure you've got a couple tips that can really help us kind of really talk to that voice, talk to that, really make a difference, correct?
Yeah. So the thing, again, to look inside.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we'll find out a couple more tips from you. And so stay with us because you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking about your map of desire. Right now, again, we have a $50 gift certificate to Lures. And just give us a call. Get your name in there. And we are going to pick a name, 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. Stay with us.
Do you struggle with food cravings, coffee addiction, weight management, or even digestive problems? What would your life look like if you were finally able to conquer these problems? If you're ready to make yourself a priority so you can feel better in your body, then Frances Starr, a certified health coach, has your answer. Go to www.coreelementswellness.com to schedule your free 30-minute wellness strategy session today. This session will jumpstart your year and give you the tools to last a lifetime. That's www.coreelementswellness.com.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Bank of Books stocks over 200,000 books and restocks daily, so there's something for everyone. New books are 20% off. Gift certificates are also available. Bank of Books is an independent, family-owned bookstore with three locations right here in Ventura and Oxnard, and also their new location in Malibu. Have books to trade in? Take them to Abednego Bookshop for trade credit and receive a 50% discount on used books at all of our locations. Call 805-643-3154. That's 805-643-3154. Or visit bankofbooks.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Again, if you miss any part of our show, you can listen on kimpaganoshow.com, Facebook. We put the shows there. We're on iTunes, and we are all over, and we are the brighter side of the 805. That really just means is really trying to live our best, happiest life. And, you know, it's exactly what Fuding Chung just said, is map of desire. It's our birthright. It's our birthright. I mean, what, you know, nobody can take that away from you. And so we were just talking about, you know, those inner demons kind of that maybe hold us back, those it's almost like a footprint that we can actually change the landscape, right? And do something to change our lives, where we almost make it to success, we almost get what we want in life, and then we sabotage it because we think we're not good enough. What are some of the tips that you can help us with?
These there's inner wounds. One thing.
Oh, inner wounds. Okay.
That's what we're talking about, that because it doesn't really matter about the outside life if your inner wounds aren't taken care of. So one thing we could do is to be really aware of our own patterns. So for example, let's say we are all very judgmental. We're in a society that's full of judgmental. Look at all the lawyers around. Now, if we did this one simple thing, just make ourselves aware, oh, I'm judging now. Just to be aware of that. I'm not going to judge. Now, it doesn't mean you have to like everything. You don't say, oh, this movie sucks. You can say, this movie doesn't speak to me. It's very different. There's no judgment. You have a right to your opinion.
Mm.
So if you didn't have judgment, your whole life changes just on that one thing. Your level of living jumps an octave, because with no judgment, we're like beginner's mind, mm-hmm. as the Buddha say. We're like children again, where the whole world is a giant toy to be explored. So that's one thing we could do. Be aware of our own judgment.
Okay, I like it. That's definitely a good thing.
Another
number two?
Another thing you could do is ask your question. Next time you have a desire, does this desire serve my ego or does it serve my heart?
Ask.
Just that simple question. These are the kind of simple questions that can completely change your life. So let me warn you, if you take this path, you may find yourself totally in self-fulfillment, true happiness, and personal freedom.
God, what a shame, huh? I love it. So ego, or does it feed my heart?
Does it feed your ego, or does it feed
your heart? In everything that you do.
Everything.
Wow. And that really, I mean, that just sums it up right there. I mean, that's excellent. Where do we find your book, and where do we find you?
I live in Venice in California area.
Does that fill your heart, or does that fill your ego?
Oh, that's my heart. I love Venice.
Yeah, on the beach. Are you close to the beach?
Yes, right by the beach, and it's a very creative environment.
There you go.
So the book can be found. You are all in the preview of this thing.
Yeah.
It's coming. It'll be launched in spring. But you can look into mapofdesirebook.com, and it'll take you how you could pre-order, and there'll probably be special things given. So mapofdesirebook.com.
And we'll have you back when you launch it.
Oh, that'd I'd love fun. To be. That'd
yeah.
be great.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Again, you know what? It's a blueprint for self-fulfillment. That's what it's all about, is if we can, you know, work on ourselves and look in and make ours lives the best, you know, as a mother, as a father, as a sister, as a brother, whatever it is, we do our own part. I mean, that's where we're going to change that imprint in our kids.
It sounds like an adventure, though.
Yeah.
It sounds like quite an adventure. You're going through this inner landscape that you're supposed to be familiar with, but you really aren't.
You'll have new eyes. It'll look wonderful. Terrifying, exciting, everything. But it's us. And we now, for the first time, you know, like Socrates says, know thyself. You're going to really know
thyself.
Yourself.
I love it.
The beauty of it is once you see the terrain, you know where to avoid and what paths to take to clear sailing.
I love it. All right. Well, let's move on. And we've got Nancy. Is it Grootmeyer?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And she has the Miss Ventura County Scholarship Association. And tell us a little bit about how you got involved in a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, I actually started out as a contestant. I was Miss Camarillo in 1972.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's cool.
And actually went on to the Miss California, Miss America program, just like I'm involved with now. There's different programs. There's USA system, international system. This is a Miss America system. And I really loved the experience so much.
Let me ask you a question. So is that something that your parents wanted you to do, or did you want to do? Because there we go. I mean,
yes.
Kind of what we're talking about, right?
Actually, no, my parents didn't really have anything to do with it. I'm not really sure how I even heard about it. I went to Camarillo High School, and something must have been said, and I thought that I would try out for it. And the first year I did it, I didn't get anything. And the second year I thought, I'm going to win this pageant. I'm not going to do this again and not win. And
so what did you do different?
It was a mindset.
See, I love
that. It was a total mindset.
Okay, I love it.
I went into it with the desire that I was going to win. And there was nothing that was going to stop me. I don't think I did anything different. I mean, obviously, I did, but I'm not aware of what I did that was actually different.
Can you talk a little bit about what she's talking about?
It's just another expression of what we've been talking. It really, everything of our success, our fulfillment, our happiness, our beauty is from within out.
Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. I it's interesting, you know, I am a hair therapist, right? And so many people, when they sit in my chair, they're like, you know, the first thing I ask them is, what do you love about yourself? And they look at me like I'm talking a foreign language. And then afterwards, they're like, you know, I'll point some things out. And it's like, oh, God, you make me feel so comfortable, because I'm okaying them to be okay with themselves. And that's kind of what you're doing in your book, and what you did with your pageant is you were like, I love myself, and I am not going to let anything or anybody, you know, take away my desire.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
I love it. What
absolutely.
A message to the other girls. And so now you're working back.
So I'm in the process now. I'm paying it forward, I guess. And I've become a director of the Ventura County Scholarship Association, which is, again, the part of Miss America. And I take the things that I learned and try to instill in this that to the young girls that are coming into it. The interview segment seems to be the biggest thing that so many of them are concerned about. And we really work on that. And we don't just work on it by throwing questions at them. What we really try and work on is for them to start looking within themselves and finding out why they believe the way they believe. Because when you're in an interview, it's basically the judges only want to get to know you. But if you don't know yourself, how can the judges know you? So that's what we really try.
Wow. Fuding, there you go. I mean, that's it. How old are the ages?
The youngest is 13. That starts with the teen. And after you get to the age of 17, you have to go into the Miss competition. But for the teens, really, how many teens ever get the opportunity to get this kind of really nurturing, where they're in a very safe environment, they're talking with people that genuinely care about them and believe in them and tell them and show them that they believe in them. And when we take these girls into a mock interview, we do this because we want to prepare them for the actual real interview on the day of the pageant. When we take them into a mock interview, I cannot tell you, when they come out of that interview, they are absolutely so elated. And it's because the judges have sat with them and they've done their interview, and then the judges give them some really wonderful feedback on how they can continue to grow and to continue to be the best they can be by how they're answering questions and digging a little deeper and finding out who they are and why do you think that way. But I've had so much wonderful response from the contestants and the parents just on that aspect of what we're doing and how we're helping these girls.
So how many classes do they go through? Classes, or do they, you know,
every week we start our pageant is January 18th, and every week from the end of October, we have a class, and we teach various things in the class. I mean, obviously, we have teach them how to walk, because a lot of them don't know how to walk, especially in heels. So we teach them how to walk. We really try and help them with etiquette. And
do they go to an etiquette class?
They don't. Not really an etiquette class per se, but we actually do work with them on etiquette. So it's just something that we do personally, I mean, in these classes. We work with them on their talent. The Miss America organization, that's the one thing that distinguishes us from other pageants, is we have the talent. So we work with them on their talent, and we have absolutely wonderful people that come in that are professionals in the business that actually sit with these contestants, give them ideas, give them, if they're singers, tell them how, you know, maybe they're not breathing properly, give them how to stage their performance. So when they actually get on stage, they're not embarrassed. They feel good about themselves. And even if they walk away and they haven't won the title, they feel good because they've walked away with so much experience of just the process in general.
What an amazing, I mean, really, gosh, that's something that you would want to give your gift to any, you know, teen.
Right.
Yeah.
It builds confidence, doesn't it?
It does.
Those skills carry through later on in life when you're interviewing for college, you're going for a job, you're meeting people, building a business. To have that inner confidence,
absolutely,
is a life changer.
Absolutely. The women that have been in this program, just that I know, that have been local Miss Ventura counties, have got on to be so successful. We have several of the girls that were actually one Miss California, one now is on Broadway, one just signed her own talk show down in Los Angeles, Nicole Pryor. She's actually going to be a guest singer at our show. So, I mean, we have so many of the young women that have competed in this system that go on to be so successful in their lives, and they, most of them actually attribute it to this program.
Wow, I love it. Anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of the 805. We're talking with Nancy Grootmeyer, and we're talking about Miss Ventura County Scholarship Association. Mm-hmm. Again, when is it?
January 18th.
Okay, and it's going to be in Moore Park, correct?
It's in Moore Park at the High Street Theater.
Right, and what I would like to do is give a family pack away right now.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and what we'll do is we'll take names right now. All you have to do is call in 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. And if they don't win, Where do they purchase their tickets?
They can go to missventuracounty.com. You can purchase them online or actually at the theater the night of the performance. It starts at 6. Doors open at 5:30, so they can get them. They're $20. And the proceeds go, again, towards scholarships. And we really believe in this program, and we would love the support.
Now, you have a daughter, correct?
I do. So two daughters, and they both competed.
Oh, yes. And did they win?
Yes. Uh-huh. Now, my youngest daughter actually was Miss Ventura County, went on to be in the Miss California America again pageant, and competed twice at Miss California. She was a Miss Long Beach as well, because she was going to school down there. And my oldest daughter was Miss Greater Kaneo Valley in the Miss International pageant, went on to state and was third runner-up at the Miss International. All of the systems, and I mean, I'm only involved with Miss America, but all of the systems have something to offer. I mean, you hear there's this big rivalry about the USA system and the America system and this system. I actually believe that they all have very great things to offer the young women.
Well, I was just going to ask you just a question. How did you handle the negative backlash when a lot of pageants were getting a lot of, you know, a lot of negativity that it was condescending to women, it wasn't really in their best interest? How did your organization survive that?
Well, the organization as a whole, honestly, I don't know how the Miss America organization handled it per se, what they did as far as press. I can only go back to personal experience in myself and being involved in it, and I was involved in it in 1973, and we actually had protesters outside of the theater throwing meat at the doors, and the police had to come saying that they were exploiting us, and honestly, I never felt so valued in my entire life as when I was in that pageant. When I was there, the people involved surrounded me with love and care and wanted only for me to gain my personal best.
I love it. Now, did you gain sponsors from that after?
After I was in the Miss California pageant? Well, actually, I got my job. I'm a flight attendant. I've been flying for Delta Airlines for 40 years now, and we had a sponsor that came to the pageant, and they asked if anybody was interested in coming to work for them, and I raised my hand, and 40 years later, I'm still here.
So you had, So let me ask you, how can the community support the efforts of this organization?
Well, by coming to the pageant, that's one thing, because obviously we need to fill the seats so we can raise the scholarship monies, pay for the venue that we're having it. We always, always value any kind of sponsorship from businesses, personal people that want to contribute, foundations, anything like that. We do have a 501(c) set up. If you want to contribute just a scholarship, we have that. I'm a not-for-profit, so I do have a tax ID number. So there's various ways to sponsor.
Right. Now, the Princess Experience, tell us a little bit about that.
That is the neatest thing. The girls are between the ages of 4 and 12. And it is not a competition at all. There's no competition. They are all winners, every single one of these little girls that get to come.
Now, you know, it's interesting because I love that everybody's a winner, but at the same time, it's been known that we give them the wrong message. Mm-hmm. It's a contradictory of, right? And so what's your thought on that?
Well, my thought on that is at this age, at 4 to 12 years old, the Miss America organization is not about having these young children be involved in a competition. This is more of a mentoring, giving them a role model to look up to that's interested in pursuing their education, because we are a strictly scholarship-based organization. We do not give out cash prizes. This is all about education, about furthering our careers and growing as women, learning to be our personal best.
So let me ask you, do they have to worry about their weight? Do they have to worry about, is it more just their inner beauty?
I think it is about the inner beauty. Of course, anytime you're on stage and you're competing in a swimsuit, there's the element that you should be toned. There is that part of the competition. They're not looking for anorexic, bulimic type bodies. They're looking for healthy, fit bodies. If you have a big bone structure and you're healthy and fit, that's fine. You don't have to be skin and bones.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, and it sounds like you're giving back and carrying on, and I love it. I do want to remind anybody, January 18th, Miss Ventura County, if you don't win tickets here at 805-419-0008, you can go there to www.missventuracounty.com. Thank you so much, Nancy Fuding Chung. Your book, Map of Desire, and we're going to definitely have you back when you have your book.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, but they can definitely go to your website. Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you.
Spence, and I do want to remind you of our 2 o'clock show. We've got Bette Chalette, and she is the author of Women's Code, Happy Women, Happy World, and the Foolproof Fix That Takes Overwhelming. Also, we've got Core Elements Wellness. That's with Frances Starr. We're going to be starting a 15-day detox. And we also have Christine Smith from Deerdorf Farms. We're going to find out about that. So join us at 2 o'clock. End my show. Let me end it with a moment of happiness. A great pleasure in life is doing something that they say you cannot do. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show.